Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa lah, amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. How's everybody doing? Fantastic? Alhamdulillah, good stuff. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we're taking a look at ayah number 20, bi'ithnillah. Ba'd a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani r-rajim. Alam nakhluqkum min ma'in mahin. Allah ta'ala says, did we not create you from a liquid disdained? So, first and foremost, this is the fourth section of this particular surah. The previous section, which were ayat 16 to 19, was a threat. It was threats from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wake people up. And now this section, the fourth section, is about reminding of blessings. And more particularly, the blessings of human life. The fact that Allah ta'ala gave us this body. It's kind of zooming in. So Allah ta'ala asked, did we not create you from this liquid disdain, maheen? We're going to take a look into this. First and foremost, this is a question, of course, and there are different types of questions in the Quran. There are rhetorical questions and so forth. This is considered al-istifham al-taqriri, which you could say is a reinforcing question. Like, didn't we create you from this? And the answer is obviously. You already know that every human being knows that where people come from, as in the male and the female come together, and it's because of these two liquids that come together that, you know, the sperm and the egg that come together that create the human being, and Allah knows best. Denying resurrection is as if you're saying, nothing could ever create me, nothing could ever create something as unique as me, and then the fact is, well, except for a sperm drop. And in fact, the sperm drop that, subhanAllah, is so, you know, disdained, something that, you know, it's something that's embarrassing to even talk about. It's something that, you know, you want to wash it off and get rid of it. It's something, you know, and so this idea that you're so unique and you're so special, it's like, right, nothing could, how could there be a resurrection? How could it be that once I've turned to dust and once my bones are all, you know, broken up and into the earth, how could I ever be brought back? Well, what brought you here the first time? This ma'in maheen? And so why do you think this is, why do you doubt that Allah Ta'ala could do this? Maheen means something that is insignificant and frivolous. This word points to the fact that man has not been created from something rare and uncommon, so that recreating him becomes a difficult task. He is created from something trivial and ordinary, something that is found in abundance in nature. In other words, you know, human beings can produce, right, these type of things. Maheen meaning weak or disregarded, ignored, neglected, or underestimated. There's other meanings for the word maheen as well, but yeah, this is the main concept. Maheen, or the root letters of mim, ha, and noon, occur four times in the Quran, twice referring to ma'im maheen, this liquid that is disdained, that is something that is considered unimportant. Another time, it's when Allah Ta'ala says what? Allah Ta'ala is describing this conversation between Fir'aun and Musa alayhi salam, and Fir'aun says, am ana khayrun min hadha alladhi huwa mahinun wa la yakadu yubin. Or am I not better than this one who is insignificant? He's maheen. Look at this Musa alayhi salam. He's insignificant and he can hardly make himself clear. He was making fun of his speech impediment. And furthermore, Allah Ta'ala prohibits obedience to a certain type of people in Surah Qalam, ayah number 10, وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينَ. Do not obey every worthless maheen, every worthless habitual swearer. The person that makes all, I swear, wallahi, tallahi, billahi, I swear, I promise, I swear. People that make a bunch of big claims and big talk and it never goes anywhere, don't obey these people. So these are the four instances that you find. Once in this surah, once in Surah 32, which is Surah 32 is Fatir, I believe. No, not Fatir. Excuse me. 32 is Sajda. Jazakallah khair. Surah Sajda, ayah number 8. Jazakallah khair. And so, yes, these are the four times. Anyway, in terms of the actual substance of sperm or semen, I should say, this is something that, from a fiqh perspective, many fuqaha have said this is najis because of the fact that it comes out of the male organ, and therefore they think, well, just the same way urine is najis, it must be najis as well. However, the fact of the matter is, when you take a look at Sahih Muslim, you find that Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she says, "Kuntu afrukuhu min thawbi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." I used to scrape it off the thawb of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So naturally, you know, there are some non-Muslims that actually make fun of this stuff. It's so embarrassing. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe he had something like that on his clothes. Yeah, he was a man that used to be engaged with his wives sometimes. I don't know, I found that so embarrassing that there are certain people that attack Islam and they try to use that against us. Why? You know, that's what happens when you engage with, I mean, be an adult, right? Like just have an adult conversation, subhanAllah. It's very funny. Anyhow, so obviously as a man and a woman, they become engaged with one another. These type of things happen. You know, a drop of something may fall upon the clothing. And so therefore, the question is, what do you have to do with it? with it. Now, if it was urine or feces, you'd have to obviously wash it so thoroughly that nothing is left whatsoever. But the fact that Aisha Ranha, she's explained to us that from a fiqh perspective, even if it dries and you just kind of scrape it off, similar to, let's say, for example, a mucus, right? If somebody wipes their, not that I'm encouraging people to do this, by the way, but theoretically, if you were to wipe your nose with your sleeve and some of it, let's say, dries on it, and then let's say as it dries, you kind of just scratch it off, right? You just kind of scratch it off, flake it off, whatever the case is. Oh, wait a second. Do I have to wash it so thoroughly that nothing remains? No, because it's not najis. Of course, it's nice to obviously clean your clothes 100%, put in the washer and dryer, etc. Yes, that's best, obviously, just for our own comfort and happiness. But from a fiqh perspective, it does not have to be completely off. It's not najis. So I hope this is clear. And I'm sure most of us know these things anyhow. Now, this word mat here, meaning water, could refer to, obviously, it's mostly seen as referring to the man's sperm, the man's water. But it could also refer to the woman's egg, because the fact of the matter is these two things come together to produce a human being. Ibn Ashur has an interesting quote. He says, Al-Mahin al-Da'if. Mahin means weak. Fa'ilun, it is the pattern of fa'il min mahuna idha da'ufa. Something that is, it means something that is weak. Wa mimuhu asliya. And the mim is from the trilateral root. Walaysa huwa min maddati hana. It is not from the root verb of hana, and the mim is just from the wazan or from the pattern. And I think this is an interesting, because he's saying basically it's not something contemptible. You should not look at this as something disgusting. Or it should be something that, it's being described as weak and underestimated. Anyway, one beautiful point here is that never underestimate your own ability. No one would have expected that such a tiny sperm drop would ever become a full person. So similarly, just as one person, never doubt that you can change the world. SubhanAllah, I thought that's a very beautiful point. You think, what can I do just as a person, right? I'm just one man. What can I possibly do as an effect on the whole planet? Well, SubhanAllah, look at your history. Look at what you used to be and look at what you became. So if you've come that far, then inshallah ta'ala, you can go even further. I thought that's a very beautiful point. Furthermore, we should not forget the hadith Qudsi in which Allah ta'ala says, أَنَ اللَّهُ وَأَنَ الرَّحْمَنُ خَلَقْتُ الرَّحِمُ وَشَقَقْتُ لَهَا مِنْ إِسْمِي فَمَنْ وَصَلَهَا وَصَلْتُهُ وَمَنْ قَطَعَهَا بَتَتْتُهُ. I am Allah, I am Ar-Rahman, the abundantly merciful, and as you can tell, the word Ar-Rahman has the Ra and Ha and Mim trilateral root. I created Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim, also the same root, meaning the womb. So I created the womb and named it after me. So I specifically gave this name of Rahim based after Ar-Rahman. So whoever keeps good relations with it, as in whoever maintains the ties of family, if you have good relationships with your brothers, sisters, parents, etc., no matter how big your family is, try to maintain some good relations with them, then I keep good relations with him. Allah is saying, if you keep good relations with your family, I will keep good relations with you. And whoever cuts it off, then I'm finished with him. You cut your family off, I'm going to cut you off as well. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from having bad relationships with our families. Even if they're mean towards you, and sometimes we go through these situations where family members are bad towards us, you can still maintain some level of decency. Give them a call on Eid, try to at least say a positive word. Even if they're harsh back, say, okay, that's fine, And I'm not saying you have to go every single day, especially if people are harsh towards you, but try to always be the one that's a little bit more positive. And subhanAllah, a nice lesson here is that if a baby safe in the womb? And alhamdulillah, I think most of us would say, yes, as a baby, you were safe in the womb. So well then, the believer should be even more safe under Allah's protection, right? Right. So when we were in the rahim, alhamdulillah, you think, well, the mother's taking care of her health, she's taking care of her environment, and the man and the family and society is taking care of making sure that nobody harms this woman, especially because she's pregnant. So there's all these, you could say, parameters to make sure that this baby is taken care of, as it should be. That's the case, that's the way it should be, alhamdulillah. So in the similar fashion, and in even a much greater fashion, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah has the highest of examples. Allah Ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, and we are all under His care. We are all underneath His protection and under His power and wisdom and so forth. So we should feel even more safe than the baby in the womb. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. A little point that I think is interesting is that, the concept of an allusion, when you make a statement that is alluding to something, it's called kinaya. And in Arabic, there are four types of kinaya. A ta'arid is the first type, which is making a statement that it sounds like one thing, but you're actually meaning something else. And the famous hadith in which a man came home and the wife knew that the baby had passed away. And instead of her just hitting him with the news and screaming, she made him some nice food, tried to make him relax. And when he asked, where's the baby? How's the baby? She said, the baby is resting. Now, what does that mean? The implication, he's thinking what? Resting, sleeping. She meant he passed away. He's at rest. It's over. You know, his life is over. So she makes him food, and then she is intimate with him. And then when the man is relaxed, and then she hits him with the hard news and says, by the way, when I said that the baby was resting, I really meant that he passed away. So this is called a ta'arid. And anyway, the hadith goes on to say that she was rewarded. Allah Ta'ala appreciated what she did, and she had a great reward for bringing the news in such a beautiful way. Anyhow, the point is that this is called a ta'arid, because you're saying one thing that gives an impression, you're not lying, but the actual other meaning is something that is meant. A talwih is a second one, which is a statement that has many different implications. So for example, there's the hadith of Abu Zar'a, and one woman, she's describing her husband, and she says that, oh, he is azim al-ramad. Azim al-ramad means he creates lots of ash. Now what does that mean? So talwih implies it has lots of meanings. So creating lots of ash means that he cooks a lot. Obviously, he burns a lot of wood, he cooks a lot. Okay, that also means that he eats a lot. It also means that he invites lots of guests. So therefore, it also means that he's very generous. You see? So it has all these different meanings, and all of them are implied. So ta'arid is the first one, talwih is the second one, ar-rams. Ar-rams is using a term that is only understood based on culture. So for example, aridul qafa. Aridul qafa means having a thick neck. Having a thick neck, what does that mean? Well, culturally, if you know the culture, it means what? That this guy is not too smart. He's unintelligent, you could say stupid, right? Now, does that literally mean stupid? Of course not, because a person can have a thick neck, a thin neck, a normal neck, and it has nothing to do with his intelligence. However, when you know the culture, it takes a second to realize, oh, I see, it means dumb. So that is called ar-rams, based on knowing of the culture. Whereas al-ishara, the last two, that's the fourth category, which is an expression that is so obvious that anybody will understand it immediately. It is similar to an ishara, like pointing at something. Obviously, when you point at something, it doesn't take a cultural knowledge to just look at that thing and say, oh, that's what he's talking about, right? When I say the word chair, and you're like, what's a chair? I'm like, that. You're like, okay, that's a chair, right? It's immediate. So anyhow, so those are the four different types of kinaya: ta'arid, talwih, rams, and al-ima, or also known as ishara. And anyway, the reason I brought this up was because Allah Ta'ala here is using which kinaya? Ar-rams. It mentions in a particular tafsir, وَهَذَا الْوَصْفُ كِنَايَةٌ الرَّمْزِيَّةِ. This is a rams. This is the type of allusion that's giving. It's the rams one. Why is that the case? Why is Allah Ta'ala using this word ma'im mahin specifically that is not so clear? Why not just say sperm? And it seems, wallahu ta'ala a'lam, is that this is a very deep da'wah lesson. And the da'wah lesson here is what? Avoid using words that will cause people to miss the whole picture, to miss the whole message. And this is very important, and sometimes I don't apply this, unfortunately. Sometimes when I'm giving a khutbah, I talk about things very plainly, very directly, and just, you know, and I feel like the benefit is that I want to be as clear as possible, as direct as possible, but I've learned over time, and hopefully I'm still learning over time, that sometimes using words that are a little bit more soft and kind of just, you know, gently alluding to the idea instead of being so direct is sometimes more helpful, because certain words are triggering and shocking, and when people get shocked, they miss the whole message. They miss the whole point, which is unfortunate, but it's true. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala in many instances, like for example, the classic example when Maryam alayhi salam says, how can I have a baby when no man has touched me, right? What do you mean, no man has touched you? Touch? Does that make somebody pregnant? Of course not. And of course a man at some point, I mean, your father must have carried you at some point, there must have been some sort of touch, right? So what does that mean? Now obviously the real meaning is what? No man has successfully had intercourse with me in order to cause pregnancy and, you know, fertilization and so, you know what I mean? Like, you could use all that wording, but it's like, whoa, that's not appropriate for the Quran, right? You get it? So this is why Allah Ta'ala uses this type of terminology, and Allah knows best. Next ayah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. And we placed it in a firm lodging. So now, obviously this is a reference to what? The sperm comes into the womb, into the egg. And now Allah Ta'ala says, we've placed it in a firm lodging in reference to what? This is the womb. If Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gave us the blessing of having a firm lodging in the womb when we didn't ask for it, would it make sense that he would leave us with no firm grasp of reality after we've grown up and asked for it? This is the argument out of necessity for revelation. In other words, Allah Ta'ala gave us this safety, this firm lodging, and gave us this life. We never asked for it. So now we beg and we plead for guidance. Alhamdulillah, yes, Allah Ta'ala has sent us guidance and firm, like not just a firm lodging in life, but firm grasp on why we exist. And this is something that seems rational. And this is an argument that people oft offer when saying not only must there be God, but necessarily there also must be revelation. And this is very much reminiscent of the dua, Allahumma innaka a'taytani al-islam min ghayri an nas'alaka fala tahrimna al-jannah وَنَحْنُ نَسْأَلُكَ. Beautiful dua. Oh Allah, you have indeed given us Islam without us even asking you for it. So do not deprive us of paradise while we are asking you for it. A very, very beautiful dua. And this is something that we can see as a divine consistency, as sunnah al-ilahiyah. A divine consistency, which is what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will develop you from something insignificant into something great, and He'll do so by arranging your whole environment to give you what you need and to build you up. Alhamdulillah, it's not just that you were inside of, it's not just that, you know, the sperm and the egg was the only necessary parts to actually develop you, rather the womb and the environment and your mother and the whole household and the whole family and the whole society, all this was helping you to grow into what you are. So this is a sunnah ilahiyah. This is a divine consistency that you, where you are right now, you have the potential to keep growing. You have the people around you, you have the resources around you. Know this, accept this, be grateful of this, and inshallah develop into the best you can. Now, Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he says, استدل بقول تعالى فجعلناه في قرار مكين على أنه لا يجوز إلقاء النطفة التي في الرحم في مدة الأربعين الأولى. So anyway, he says that this statement of Allah, we placed it in a firm lodging, is used as evidence that it is not permissible to abort the fetus in the first 40 days, because it isn't permissible to violate that firm lodging. You know, the fact that Allah says this is a firm lodging, so if Allah is describing it in this way, like it's a safe place, it should be safe. People should not be aborting these fetuses, and therefore this is an indication that this is not permissible. However, the prohibition of aborting in the first portion is not the same as later on after the first 4 months. Basically, once the ruh has entered and once the person is fully a person, then this is a whole different level of tahrim. One of them is, let's say, not suggested or, you know, especially for no reason. So there's different madhahib on this. The Maliki madhab, they say, أَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزْ وَلَوْ قَبْلَ الْأَرْبَعِينَ. They say, أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا. They say, you're not allowed to abort even before the first 40 days. The Malikis, they say, just haram completely. The other three madhahib, Hanafiya, Shafi'i, and Hanabila, they say that it's permissible before the first before the soul has entered into the fetus and it's become an actual person. Ibn Baz, he's got a nice quote here. He says that إسقاط الجنين فيه تفصيلٌ, that there are details regarding this issue of abortion. If it's before the first 40 days, there's room for permissibility, but it shouldn't be done except for some general benefit, you know, some sort of a مصلحة. إذا اقتضت المصلحة الشرعية. Like, for example, if there's some sort of harm to the mother. So other than that, it should be avoided naturally. So wallahu a'lam, there's a number of opinions here. Then Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَىٰ قَدْرٍ مَعْلُومٍ, for a known extent. What is this known extent? This is 9 months, give or take, depending on Allah's will. Sometimes people are born a little earlier or later, but generally this is a reference to the 9 months. And it's interesting how, subhanAllah, there's one person living in society is very similar to a fetus inside of the womb. What do I mean by that? Well, society is protecting and maintaining and sustaining you. And if society is destroyed, you'd be destroyed as a byproduct. The mother is serving the fetus in the same or in a similar way. There's a very specific kind of love that a mother has for her child. And perhaps the correlation is that for a society to remain healthy, there's got to be a uniting bond that makes society care about the most vulnerable people in it. This is what Islam offers. Whereas no other ideology can rationally justify and sustain such an arrangement. It's very beautiful that Islam creates a society where, just like a mother is protective and developing this a baby in the womb, the Islamic society is one where people care about each other and they take care of the people that are the weakest, and it creates an environment where, inshallah ta'ala, everybody can be developed within it, kind of like the baby developing in the womb. Both the time a person has in the womb and the time they have on earth in society is limited and appointed. So stop tricking yourself into feeling like you're going to last forever. Furthermore, it's not just Allah Ta'ala that knows when the baby is ready for delivery. How amazing, subhanAllah. That's not just Allah Ta'ala, obviously Allah knows when the baby's ready for delivery, but it's the mother's body that just begins to contract when the baby's ready. Isn't that amazing? Like, we take this so for granted, right? Everybody knows that, okay, my wife, you know, she's, 7 months pregnant, now 8 months, okay, 9 months, she's right around the corner now, and then, oh, my water broke, and, you know, my body's going into contraction. Everybody just, adi, you know, normal. No, we all think of it as normal. However, subhanAllah, don't we realize that how amazing this apparatus is? Why is it that her body just knows? Why is it that the body just says, time to go, and then everything starts pushing just the right way, and the baby has a nice exit, and then subhanAllah, we can have the baby born? This is incredible. And the fact that Allah just gave us all this programming is something we need to be so grateful for. So this word ma'lum means it is known, but Allah isn't specifying who knows. Now obviously Allah knows, but you can also say ma'lum, yani the mother knows. And she just knows when, time to push, time to go. And it's just such an amazing fact. And anyway, inshallah, some of you guys haven't had any kids yet, but when you do, hopefully you'll appreciate it more. Final ayah for today, inshallah ta'ala. فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ Allah says, and we determined it, and excellent are we to determine. And another reading of this is, فَقَدَّرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ So the two readings of this, it could have the shadda or it could not have the shadda. These are two different readings, and Allah knows best. And what's interesting about these, this set that we've been talking about today, is that this entire set of ayat have a qaf in it. If you notice, Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَمْ نَخْلُقْكُمْ مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ So that نَخْلُقْ, it's, there's a qaf there. فَجَعَلْنَاهُ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ قَرَار, qaf. إِلَى قَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ, qaf. فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ So there's this, there's a, you could say a flow to it. There's a style in this section, and they all have the letter qaf in it. And of course, if Allah Ta'ala could extract you from the earth the first time, how could you possibly doubt that He can resurrect you? This is something that is very natural and obvious. And a few other points about this ayah is what? This is a powerful reminder that a man and a woman can do the act of intimacy, but neither of them know how to construct a human. This is from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ And we do this in the best of ways. And this is happening in our own bodies. So contemplating our creation is the cure to arrogance and a return to your own fitrah, which is what? Servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another few points is what? Muslims are less susceptible to the allurements and the trappings of cosmetic surgery. Why? Because we're grateful for the way we look. When we have this reinforcement over and over again, فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ We're the ones who have constructed you, and we've constructed you in the most beautiful way. This is Allah ta'ala. Above anybody else, it doesn't matter what your neighbors say or what your classmates say or what anybody else says or in different advertisements. Allah is saying, look at how beautiful I made you. How much does this boost your self-esteem as an individual that you come and you bow to Allah Ta'ala and you say, Ya Rab, you're the one who said, aren't you? Allah is the one telling you, aren't you so beautiful? Look at how beautiful my creation is. Why then would you have to chop up your body parts and cut yourself up and this and that, all the different things that we see going on in society? The believers are, inshallah, the least susceptible because we know that Allah Ta'ala is calling us so beautiful. And this is why we should remember that we always say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, we thank Allah for all circumstances. And when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we say what? Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi fa hassin khulqi. Oh Allah, just as you have perfected my creation, or beautified, I should say, just as you have beautified my exterior, then oh Allah, beautify my character as well. It's a beautiful, beautiful dua that we should make when we look at ourselves in the mirror, inshallah ta'ala. Now, I know I keep saying last few points, inshallah, I'm closing up real soon. But subhanAllah, just about every single Muslim understands and believes what? فَقَدَرْنَا We're the ones who give qadr. We're the ones who determine everything. We believe this, alhamdulillah, as believers, that Allah Ta'ala is in control. But that second part of the sentence is very important for us to remind ourselves. فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ That it's not enough to say Allah is in control. You have to remember the second portion, which is what? Alhamdulillah for what Allah Ta'ala is in control of. Whatever's happening right now, alhamdulillah. Whatever's happening, there's good in it. Whatever's happening, inshallah, there's going to be good that comes out of it. This is especially difficult for us right now, considering we see such ugly things happening in the news. But you have to have the confidence that inshallah, this is a wake-up call for myself and the believers. This is a wake-up call for the ummah. There's going to be good that comes out of this, inshallah ta'ala. فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ Whatever the qadr is of Allah ta'ala, there's good in it. So even if I get sick, even if I get injured, Ya Rab, this is good for me, inshallah. We have to have this positive attitude. This deen makes us so positive. So it's, don't just think, look at the first statement, look at the second. فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ This is a very important statement to make and to be grateful for Allah ta'ala's arrangement. And then, of course, finally, I said last ayah, but actually I want to finish with this ayah, I'm sorry. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ Then Allah Ta'ala says, so woe to those deniers. So yes, woe to the deniers, denying of what? Just like the sperm drop is underestimated, then the corpse is also underestimated. We should not underestimate this, because of course, just as a sperm drop, how could life come from this? Well, it does. Well, that corpse, Allah's going to resurrect it, subhanAllah. Just like the womb, we are finally lodged into this earth. You know, we know that, subhanAllah, we are lodged into this womb. Well, guess what? We're going to be lodged into the earth, and just as we come out of the womb, we're also going to be coming out of the earth. And ayah number 22 is what? Just like there's the womb is 9 months, resurrection will happen, and it's appointed, and Allah knows how long it will be. And just as Allah Ta'ala determined that we will grow in the womb till we become fully functioning humans, on Judgment Day we'll be resurrected to become fully accountable human beings. So woe to those that deny the one who has made us and can bring us back. Woe to those who deny the one who has blessed them with existence from non-existence, and sometimes assistance sometimes assistance can grow so big that... Anyway, last comment, I'll leave it alone, inshallah ta'ala. Sorry. And so, inshallah, with that we close. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.